afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Dave Allen, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Friday, May 3rd, 2019. Good afternoon, Dave.
Happy Friday, Melody.
Happy Friday to you, too, and to everyone out there. And I'll tell you what, this week couldn't end too soon. It was just one of those weeks, ladies and gentlemen, and so I hope your week was better. And as we head into the I just can't believe it's May, but unbelievable, time flies. But let's go ahead and get to the market report today. We got some good numbers coming out of gold. They couldn't hold it, but we had a high of 1283 today for gold. Currently, we're looking at 1279. 1279 up $7.60. Silver was up over 15 for most of the day in this late hour of trade. They whacked it again, but it was 1499 New York spot price after market. 1499 up 29 cents. Platinum had a great day, 2.25%. $874 up 19, and palladium was up $4 at $1,367. USDX today was down 34 at 97.49, and crude oil was up 5 cents at 61.86. And of course, on the jobs report today, of course, the markets took off and did. They struggled a little bit early on, but they came through. You had the Dow up 196 points at 26,504. The NASDAQ 127 to the upside at 8,164. And the S&P 2,945 up 28. 10-year yield 2.53%. European Asia markets again, another night that was quiet. And that was, again, mainly, Dave, I believe, the everything was powered higher in the paper markets and in the gold markets due to the jobs report. The government comes out and says that the economy added 263,000 new hires in April. The unemployment rate fell to 3.6%. This is the lowest in a generation. And, of course, this is according to the Labor Department this morning. Non-farm payroll growth easily beat the expectations. We talked about Wall Street expectations on Wednesday. Theirs was 190,000. Average hourly earnings growth held at 3.2% over the past year. This was a notch below estimates. The monthly gain was 0.2%, and bringing the average to $27.77. So I'm glad everybody out there is making a good wage, $27.77. Dave and I were talking about that before the program, and it's all how you really view it. I mean, when you look at the high-powered salaries out there, you know, and everybody talks about where all the wealth is, that number should really be, if everybody was doing well, it should be $50 average, not 27. So let's see, this is the lowest since December 1969 when it hit 3.5%. Do you remember December 1969, Dave?
Do you remember December of 69? I'm trying to think what that song was. December of 69, I believe, was a very good Christmas, as I recall. As I hit, it was my first Christmas as a teenager. Spent it at my maternal grandparents in the suburbs of D.C. and had a wonderful time. I think that might have been the year I got my first and last drum set. It was the beginning of the end of our group, the Chandeliers. But So I do have some vague recollections.
Well, since I'm only 39, I only go back to 1980s, so what can I say?
Well, you got to have the law of averages. I'm glad your youthfulness and my age mix well.
Yeah.
Yeah, indeed. Well, you know, big job growth continues as the economic expansion is just away, a short few months away from being the longest in history. While last month's slump in the jobless rate came with strong increase in hiring, it was also helped by a sharp decline in the labor force of almost 500,000. That brought the labor force participation rate down to about 63%. That's exactly where it was 1 year ago. Now, a broader and, we believe, much more realistic unemployment gauge that includes those who've quit looking for jobs, as well as the underemployed, held at 7.3%, where it has been since February. You know, those counted as not in the labor force surged by over 600,000 to a fresh high of 96.2 million people, Melody.
Well, no one's going to talk about that number, are they?
Absolutely not.
You know, not when they're, not when you go to the headlines and it's showing that, we have the greatest economy in the world and, it's just the envy of the world when you, nobody's going to share that number, that's for sure.
Especially John Williams of Shadow Stats, who pegs the unemployment number using the old methodology used by the government years ago as over 21%.
Wow. He really bumped that up. Yeah, it is huge. But nobody's going to talk the real numbers because they can't fool people that way, Dave.
And indeed. Mm-hmm. Indeed. Well, you know, speaking of age and older workers, we've seen our wages as a group come to a virtual halt. You know, that's the takeaway from a new report by researchers at, the Retirement Equity Lab at the New School for Social Research. Weekly earnings for workers between 55 and 64 were less than 1% higher in the first quarter this year than they were, same time in 2007. That's after accounting for inflation. For comparison, earnings rose 4.7% during that same period for workers between the ages of 35 and 54. Now, as the wages of older workers peter out, the number of them in the workforce are only growing. 10,000 baby boomers, Melody, turn 65 now every day. More than half the 11.4 million jobs expected to be added to the U.S. economy over the next 7 years will be filled by workers over 55.
Well, one of the main reasons that people working at older ages don't have higher wages is because they don't have bargaining power. The reason they don't have that bargaining power is they don't have a good fallback pension. You know, if everyone has a really secure pension plan, they can go to the labor market and bargain with employers. However, today, less than half of older employees have access to a retirement plan through their job. Employers have exploited the fact that many older people can't pack up and move across the country for different job reasons. So, as a result, employers can basically offer them just enough money to get them above the poverty line, and they have to take it or leave it. And this was something we talked about yesterday, Dave, about where McDonald's is hiring older people. They don't want the younger ones anymore. They want the older people, and this is the reasons why.
Older people stay.
Mm-hmm.
And this growth of the gig economy, where wages are low and uncertain, and retirement plans basically are non-existent. That's the other problem. In 2015, nearly 25% of older workers said they were in an alternative work arrangement. That's defined as on-call, contract, or this so-called gig work. And that's up 15% in 2005. Now, what's more, workers over the age of 55 are three times more likely than workers under 35 to be in alternative work arrangements. Wow, that's... That would have been surprising had we not had the introductory information that you laid out. Mm-hmm. It's pretty amazing. This Uber and Lyft movement, this recent study found that 2/3 of those drivers working for those two companies we're over 50, the age of 50. Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
The researcher said in this study, this is a stark statement, you know, more people are going to die in their boots. They'll never be able to retire. Wow.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, it's one thing when people work because they want to work.
Yeah.
But now we have a generation that's not the choice of why they're working, and those working say they wish they could retire, that they kind of, you know, see people who, you know, benefited and so forth and would like to retire. But, well, rates, everybody talks about rates, and there was an interview this morning, Vice President Mike Pence. He gave his take,
his two cents,
which is most likely President Trump's 2 cents, because Pence doesn't say anything without the approval of Trump. But anyway, we're going to go on and continue this. Believes that the Fed should look to cut its bench rate interest due his, I'm sorry, bench rate interest rate. It's Friday, ladies and gentlemen. And he says, because of the continued growth of the U.S. economy, he thinks it might be time for us to consider lowering interest rates. We just don't see any inflation in this economy at all. And, of course, Pence economic advisor Larry Kudlow, my BFF, and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin have all previously backed Trump's call to lower interest rates. Pence also raised the idea that the Fed perhaps should focus on a single mandate, maximizing employment to make monetary policy, instead of the dual mandate that also includes low inflation.
Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit more in the next segment, but the vice president added that this single mandate is not something that he and the president have talked about, but it is something that St. Louis Fed President James Bullard said in a separate interview today that the Fed should seriously consider. He said, given the low rate of inflation, again, as measured by the government. Bullard said the Fed's policy rate is a little tight right now and that current readings of inflation are uncomfortably low. Bullard, one of the Fed's biggest policy doves, also said in this CNBC interview that aside from soft inflation, the U.S. economy is performing very well. And, you know, GDP growth this year could reach 2.5% on an annual basis.
That's really killing the...
Yeah, how about it, man?
It's going although, full speed, you know, man.
We'll note it is on the high side of what a lot of economists are still talking about, even after the fairly robust first quarter numbers of 3.2%. Trump's also looking to fill two vacant seats on the Fed board, but so far, you know, the nominees Trump has seriously considered have withdrawn.
Yeah, we know government needs inflation. So it's is this just speak that they're talking about, that, you know, they like this low in inflation because governments don't like low inflation? So, and we know inflation is higher. So this is just jaw talk. Just, you know, it's not what they do, it's what they say. But if they need an interest rate cut, so, you know, I mean, they're desperate then. They're desperate. Because if the economy was going as well as it is, you know, why mess with anything? You'd want to keep it going just the way it is. You wouldn't want to rock any boats, right? I mean, am I misreading that somehow, some way?
No, and I don't,
maybe it's a little
think
simplified.
So.
Maybe it's a little simplified.
Well,
but,
you know, we know that in, you know, the financial crisis of, you know, 2007, 2008, 2009, I mean, the interest rates were, I think, around 5.25%, 5.5% when the Fed started lowering them to zero. I mean, it, you know, they talked, the Fed talked about, you know, getting to the midpoint of the range, which be, you know, 2.35 or so percent. It's not going to take much at all in the next recession for the Fed, you know, to get to zero, and that'll do virtually nothing, you know, from a stimulus impact to reboot the economy at that point. You know, I think, you know, people could be thinking, hey, stagflation's, you know, a great thing when, you know, we're hovering, you know, in a deflationary scenario because, you know, the Fed, it's just a very dysfunctional model, ladies and gentlemen, that we have in the United States, not just here, but throughout the world with the structure and operation of our central banks.
So again, to me, they're desperate. They're trying to calm the market, keep these markets as high as it can be, because something else, when you're talking about, what did you say earlier, 10,000 retirees a day?
Yeah.
What do you think they're doing with their money? Don't they pull it out of the stock market and put it into something a little more conservative, or have they been convinced to keep it there?
Like bonds?
Bonds.
Oh,
but you
my
think
gosh.
This money is eventually going to be pulled out, you know, so they're doing everything possible to keep everything there. And this is the basis of our economy. This is the basis of our economy. Free money. So multinational corporations can continue to buy back their shares. People can still afford to charge their credit cards and afford the interest. They found the breaking point of people being able to afford housing. So that's what the economy is based on. Nothing good. The fundamentals of this economy is based on debt. It's based on promises. It's based on, so how can that withstand any black swan or some sort of event that, it's impossible. I mean, we are teetering. And I said we've already gone over the cliff. We just caught a branch. And the branch is coming out of that cliff. And we're not going to survive like the Roadrunner does when he hits the bottom.
Yeah, we don't bounce up like he does.
So, but what we're going to bounce into is our first break of the day. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melanie Cederstrom. I'm here with Dave Allen, and we'll be right back right after this week.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. truthandradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please make sure you visit our website, dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Please make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. 90% silver, 50-cent pieces. Great buy at these low, low prices when silver is holding at 14.99. And we all know where it's going. I don't think I have to, talk up where gold and silver prices are going to go. I mean, that's just a given. We just have to, you talk about promises and guarantees. Of course, there's only one guarantee in life, but it's pretty close. It's pretty close, ladies and gentlemen.
Melody? Yes? Oh, go ahead. I beg your pardon. Go ahead.
But so we've got 90% silver on the $25 face value, along with a 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle. This also includes your shipping cost for $450. So, and I just wanted to make sure that I did do that properly, because that seems a little high. Nope, that'll work. $450. It should be $455, but we'll do $450. $450. For 90% silver, 50-cent pieces, and of course, it's a mixture of the Kennedys and the Walkers and the Franklins, and we really do pull out a lot of the real worn coins, and we do send them back and get them replaced, but that's my job, and you won't receive those, but these are circulated coins, but they're a great buy, and then along with the 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle, and it's a great little beginner package. You can buy one or you can buy 100, and of course, if you buy two of these packages, we'll include the free shipping. $450, give us a call, 1-800-375-4188, and for gold, and Mint State 62, $20 Liberty gold pieces or a steel. I mean, shoot, $1,350. It's a couple bucks above an American Gold Eagle. How can you go wrong? When back in 2009, spot gold was a little over $1,100, and these coins were selling for $1,800. So the spreads are there. Not now, but they will be when we get into that panic-driven market, ladies and gentlemen. I don't think there's anyone that who is listening that doesn't believe that we're going to be headed into that panic-driven market. We don't know when, but it's coming, and I think it's coming pretty quick. And Dave, we're not the only one who doesn't, who tries to talk to everyone about the paper market highs.
You're absolutely right. Market analyst and professional trader Gregory Mannarino doesn't feel good at all about the recent new all-time highs in the S&P 500. He told our good friend Greg Hunter, I believe just last week, that the environment we're in now is unlike anything we have seen before in world history. The distortions that exist in this market are hard to get your head around. He added, we don't have any resemblance whatsoever of a free market or a free market economy. We are, unfortunately, in the United States, managed across the board. Goes on to say the information being fed through the mainstream media outlet is all fake. This GDP number we got recently is fake, and that's easily provable, he says. Comes down to this: in order to sustain where we are, the relentless acquisition of debt is all that's supporting the environment we are in. There is no recovery, ladies. There is no economic boom.
What do we say here every day, Dave?
Debt.
The same thing. Debt. We've never had it. We haven't had a recovery since the first recession we've had how many years ago? Because we all recovered through debt. And this is a debt boom. And this is Greg talking. This is a debt boom. That's what we have. And it's not just here in the United States. It's global. It will correct to fair value at one point, some point. So why is the Trump administration asking for rate cuts, he asks, or he says, without a rate cut moving forward, we will not be able to sustain the current valuations in this market.
So what did you say earlier, Melody?
That's exactly, yeah.
Just that.
So they must continue to inflate this bubble, and there is nothing like it, and there has never been anything like it. So if the stock market is in a bubble, what is happening to physical gold and silver prices? And he's right. This is the opposite bubble to the downside. This is an inverse bubble on an epic scale. Just like the debt market is in the biggest bubble the world has ever seen, and on the back of that, we have pulled stocks higher. We have pulled housing higher. Manarino goes on. He says, this is where we need to be if we understand there is an inverse bubble in gold and silver. We need to be on the right side of the trade, bet against the debt, and become your own central bank. I have been telling people to be their own central bank. I can't even remember when. For years.
Bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, buy hard assets. Just like gold and silver. You know, a house is a hard, you know, asset, but, you know, it's massively overvalued. Just ask the people in San Francisco. The real estate market is in a bubble worse than 2008, and that's going to correct, too. Interest rate suppression has forced cash into assets it shouldn't have gone into. The distortions that exist today have eclipsed every single distortion that's ever existed in financial markets in history. It's very unique. Physical gold, and more specifically, physical silver, are the greatest trades on earth. They're the most undervalued and suppressed assets on earth. They're real wealth. They've represented real wealth for thousands of years.
Yep.
You know, no amount of rigging is going to be able to stop the explosive move that gold and silver will make at some point. Amen.
You know, he's spot on, and we've been saying that for years, so it's nice to hear Greg Manarino confirm with his views, his statements, exactly what we've been saying for how long. And, you know, Dave, it's really not about, you know, we talk about these black swan events, these dates, these occurrences that come and go. Nothing happens. People talk about resets of the currencies and so forth. People talk about, you know, it's the central banks and so forth. But all of this, where we are today, all has occurred for one reason and one reason only. The reason we have all this debt, corruption. It's because they took us into a fiat dollar system, no accountability, spending, debt. Here we are today. And he is absolutely right. I liked his one line. He says, you know, there's no amount of rigging in either market, whether the paper markets or gold and silver, is going to stop this explosive move in the precious metals. And I find this next topic that we're going to talk about really interesting, Dave, where Iran's oil minister is warning that OPEC is likely to collapse because some members of the 14-nation group are working against their fellow producers. Now, this comment appears to be a thinly veiled reference to Saudi Arabia and the UAE. The Trump administration tightened energy sanctions against Iran yesterday, and the White House says the Saudis and the Emiratis will work with the U.S. to offset the anticipated drop in. Well, that's what they've been telling us. So U.S. sanctions imposed in November have already cut Iran's oil exports by about 1 million barrels per day.
And, you know, the Trump administration's followed that up by, you know, stopping the granting of sanction waivers to some of Iran's biggest customers. Analysts now expect the Islamic Republic's exports to fall by another several hundred thousand barrels per day. Saudi Arabia is not explicitly committed to hiking output to fill the gap either. Saudi Energy Minister Khalid Al-Faleh said the kingdom would consult with producers and consumers to, quote, ensure a well-balanced and stable oil market, end quote. Well, OPEC and its oil market allies, including Russia, are scheduled to meet on June 25th in Vienna to decide whether to extend their deal to limit oil supply, which has been in place since January and expires at the end of June. Saudi Arabia can lift output and still abide by the deal because it's currently pumping about 500,000 barrels per day below its quota.
But, you know, these inflammatory comments from Iranian officials, they're really not uncommon and frequently do not lead to destabilizing action. However, the remarks come at a time of heightened tension. And, you know, we know OPEC and the petrodollar, and if you have some of their members that aren't happy with what's going on, like Russia, I'm not sure. I mean, it's really an interesting aspect that you could see OPEC fall apart from within. And last fall, Qatar said it would leave OPEC after 57 years in the organization. The natural gas-rich nation denied that it made the decision because Saudi Arabia and the UAE have kept Qatar under embargo since 2017. But, you know, the foreign minister of Qatar said that told NBC that as a small oil producer, it didn't, you know, its voice didn't count in OPEC. So I don't know. It's kind of interesting to think that OPEC, you know, no amount of money we give them for and weapons that we give them to fight their wars in Yemen and so forth doesn't mean that they can't fall apart inside. And what would that do to the petrodollar? Oh, think about that, ladies and gentlemen. Where do you think our dollar would go? You know, it still has to have a system to replace it because you have such a large percentage of world transactions being processed in the U.S. dollar. So I don't know. In a situation like that, would it collapse immediately, or Dave, or would it be a drawn out, slow death? I don't know. I think it'd be quick.
Yeah, it's maybe quick or somewhere in between. It certainly wouldn't be too drawn out, although, you know, there'll be some major players, you know, doing their best to extend it for as long as possible. Anyway.
But, yeah, so that's an interesting way to look at things, and particularly with what's happening with Iran, what they can do with the Strait of Hormuz and cut that pipeline off. And you know, it's something's going to break. I mean, you just can't be having these tensions everywhere and nothing breaks, I think. Where it's going to break, I'm not sure. But, you know, when you include all of these countries with North Korea, Russia, China, you know, I could go on and on and on, Venezuela, Yemen, where else? We have Libya is coming apart, nobody's talking about, and all these other, something's going to break. And I wish it didn't have to, but it will. We got about four more minutes going into the break. Dave, your latest blog that's out as we speak is called Unemployment, Inflation, and GDP. They aren't necessarily what the government says they are. So why don't we go ahead and start talking about that before we head into a break?
Thanks, Melody. Well, in a recent report, John Williams, the founder of ShadowStats.com, says the Federal Reserve isn't doing too well with its dual mandate, despite formal claims to the contrary. Now, since 1977, the Fed has operated under a directive from Congress to effectively promote the goals of maximum employment and stable prices. That's all the while achieving moderate long-term interest rates. That's what's commonly known as the Fed's dual mandate. Williams believes that, you know, financial authorities will announce later this fall actually early in the fall, that the U.S. economy is in a state of collapse and in recession. That announcement, Williams suggests, would be an admission of a financial collapse that's been going on since 2008 and has largely been hidden from public view.
You also write that Williams has been claiming since the early 2000s that government-generated economic indicators are inaccurate at best and fabricated at worst.
For sure. The actual unemployment, inflation, and GDP rates could be significantly different, that is, reflecting a worse picture than reported by the federal government. For instance, and we alluded to this in the first segment, according to Williams, unemployment could be anywhere from 7.3% to 21.2%, not the 3.6 rate just reported. Inflation could be approaching 10%, not 1.6%, and GDP could actually be negative 1%, not plus 3.2. Williams points out that the government reports financial data that doesn't include future obligations, for example, the Social Security and Medicare trust funds. You know, he says it's as if the government doesn't actually have to meet those obligations.
Well, you know, he also talks about the cabal of 12 private banks at the Fed. And, you know, I think most of our listeners know about those 12 private banks and, you know, Lord knows the last time they were audited and so forth and the illegalities of the Fed. But with that being said, Williams noted that this cabal of 12 private banks have promoted the needs and health of the banking system very much at the cost of the domestic business activity and the economic health and prosperity of Main Street America.
Absolutely. You know, he believes it could be time for Congress to realign control of U.S. monetary policy back to the elected officials who control the U.S. Treasury with oversight in Congress. Now, that's as opposed to having it controlled as it is now by the Federal Reserve, which is owned by the banks it oversees, and aside from, you know, being composed of appointees by the president, confirmed by the Senate, operates completely independently.
And yet fiscal policy is just as bad, with unsustainable too much spending or not enough revenues, the government faces insolvency and, of course, hyperinflation. And I'm going to let you address that when we come back, as we're heading into our break right now. And please stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen, to hear Dave's discussion and about what he wrote in our blog today. Please stay tuned.
I need to hear it just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231. And the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. $25 face value, 90% silver, a 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle, $450. It includes your shipping. And, of course, if you purchase two packages, you'll receive free shipping. $450, give us a call, 800-375-4188. Heading into the break, we were talking about Shadowstat and Mr. Williams' statement on the Federal Reserve, and we were talking about the generally accepting accounting principles, the net obligations of the federal government, including the unfunded liabilities valued in current dollars, now exceed an estimated astounding $100 trillion.
And as we know, that daunting figure includes, you know, more than $22 trillion. Melody, in existing U.S. Treasury debt, over 100% of GDP and the largest amount of sovereign debt in the world. That 100 plus trillion figure that's needed to refinance existing U.S. obligations not only is five times greater than GDP, but also tops current estimates of the aggregate global GDP of about $85 trillion. Now, if you strip out government unfunded liabilities, total U.S. debt is still over $73.6 trillion. That's debt, you know, outstanding, you know, with the federal, state, and local governments, households, which is over $19 trillion, businesses, and banks. You know, that equates to a burden of over $225,000 per U.S. resident and almost $1 million per family of four.
Let's write those checks, ladies and gentlemen.
Ah, yes.
But you know what? We've talked about this again on this program. We've said this for a very long time. This debt can't be paid. It will never be paid. The debt is too great to be paid. And Michael Snyder, I think most of the listeners know Michael Snyder, the economic collapse, he confirms and he says the same thing. This debt will never be paid.
The only thing left to do, he says, is to keep the debt bubble going for as long as possible. Yep. And the only way to do that is to keep it growing at a faster pace than the overall economy. And now, Melody, as my young grandson knows, all bubbles eventually burst. And the bigger the bubble, the bigger the explosion.
Yes, he knows that now. And common sense suggests, no, it mandates investors to buy and hold gold and silver, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to preserve your purchasing power. And, of course, against the permanence of this currency debasement that we do face, and it is coming. You know, you can accept it, deny it, and prepare for it, but it's coming, and it's that simple. We have a new bi-weekly segment, Dave.
How about that? That crept up on us, Melody.
It did. Oh, what's it called? Watch Your Step?
Yes.
Oh no.
Indeed.
What are we stepping into that we have to watch our step?
Stepping on or stepping into?
We're going to report on personal finance, investing, and general lifestyle issues that affect our financial, physical, and mental well-being. And this is in today's first edition, and I'm kind of new to this, Dave, so we talked about it. We're going to wing it. It's about the 32-year-old soldier who wanted to get a better view of the inside of Hawaii's volcano and was seriously injured after he fell from a 300-foot high cliff into the volcano crater.
I mean, watch your step, on. Young man.
Well, is there any hope for this person? The man climbed over a metal guardrail to get a better vantage point, and the ground beneath him collapsed. Army officials say the man is a soldier from Schofield Barracks on the island of Oahu and was on Hawaii's Big Island for training exercises. Rescue workers were able to rappel down the inside of the volcano, where they found the man on a ledge 70 feet below the rim.
They got the man into a stretcher, airlifted him out of the crater with the help of a military helicopter. He was flown to a medical center in critical condition, but amazingly, yesterday he was upgraded to stable. John Broward, who's the chief ranger at Hawaii's Volcano National Park, said visitors should never cross safety barriers, especially around dangerous and destabilized cliff edges. Matthew Cush, who is Hawaii County's fire department battalion chief, reported that the soldier, whose name thankfully hasn't been released, is doing remarkably well for his fall. Only time will tell what injuries he has. Kilauea is one of the world's most active volcanoes. Last year, it erupted for months, destroying about 700 homes on the island with lava and ash. Life is short, ladies and gentlemen, so please, please, please be careful out there and watch your step.
You know, it's interesting. I lived in Arizona. I think something just happened just recently, the Grand Canyon. People were falling in the Grand Canyon all the time because they kept backing up, trying to get close to the edge.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, they just tumble over. Gosh. I mean, it happens all the time. And it's just, I know when you're young, it feels like you're just invincible. But since we're talking about him falling in and having some injuries, perhaps we can continue on about workers and rising medical deductibles and how it is creating havoc for families. And we know workers and families, they're already living paycheck to paycheck. We know that wages have been stubbornly slow to rise. And those who get health insurance through a job have also seen their deductibles shoot up. There was a healthcare reporter for the LA Times, Noam Levy. He said that deductibles have, on average, quadrupled over the last dozen years. So, you know, yes, we might have health insurance, but we still can't afford the medical care. We've spent so much time with the Affordable Care Act over the last 10 years. And, you know, it really hasn't helped everyone. And as prices continue to rise, you know, they do raise these deductibles, thinking that it's going to help them on their monthly saving or their monthly premiums. And last year, people have seen their deductibles rise astronomically, rising four times in the last dozen years from about $350 on average to $1,350. On average, that's really not a high deductible.
Well, that's average. That's average.
I mean, most people I know say they got 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10,000.
Well, that's I mean, particularly if you're in the federal marketplace exchanges with some of the PPO and even HMO plans. They're seeing $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 individual deductibles, family deductibles of $12,000, $13,000, $14,000, and $15,000 before health insurance kicks in. So,
and that's in addition to their, you know, family of four, what, $28,000, dollars a year for their premiums. And there was a recent nationwide poll by Kaiser Family Foundation, and they found. What they found was that half of Americans who get job-based coverage say they or an immediate family member in the last year have put off going to the doctor, not filled the prescription, or delayed some other kind of medical care because of concerns about cost. One in five had depleted their savings to pay a medical bill in the last year. And one in six reported that they have had to make some kind of difficult sacrifice in order to pay a medical bill. We hear all the stories about how difficult it is for people who, you know, they do try to pay their bills, and they put off taking their prescriptions. Older people with their prescriptions, instead of taking one daily, they'll take it every other day or something like that to try to cut the cost. And yet we're living in the economy that is the world's, that we're the envy of the world.
Indeed. Indeed. You know, on another front, Melody, sticking with sort of the medical or health topic for another few moments, a jury in Boston has found one-time billionaire and drug company executive John Kapoor and his four co-defendants guilty of racketeering conspiracy. The federal government accused Kapoor, who's the founder of Insys, that's INSYS Therapeutics, of running a nationwide bribery scheme. Between 2012 and 15, Insys allegedly paid doctors to prescribe its potent opioid medication and then lied to insurance companies to ensure that the expensive fentanyl-based painkiller would be covered. Kapoor is among the highest-ranking pharmaceutical executives to face trial amid our national opioid epidemic. And by pursuing this case, the federal government was seen by some as sending a message that it's starting to hold drug companies accountable for their role in the epidemic. Next, Melody, we hope they start holding some banks more accountable, right?
But I have a question. If they're going to be holding the pharmaceuticals, shouldn't be holding some of these doctors also accountable? Because it really is the doctors
who are prescribing.
Yeah,
they've known that's coming for a long time.
So, I mean, to some degree, the pharmaceuticals, did they lie about, you know, the addiction rate and so forth? Yeah, they did. Someone needs to be held accountable for their lies. On the other hand, these doctors not telling the patients.
Yeah, I'm sure the docs will come next. I would suspect, you know, some U.S. attorney, or maybe a group of them, or attorneys general, saw this as a way to go after, you know, basically the drug cartel, the manufacturers, going after the big guys. So, I mean, one would hope that, you know, the others who are, you know, integrally involved in this crisis, you know, some of the docs who are prescribing this. Now, you know, some innocently, I'm sure, you know, were basing their decisions on false information, at least initially, giving them the benefit of the doubt when they prescribed these opioids. But, geez, after all the information that's been out there, and just knowing some of the practices that these healthcare professionals engage in, there ought to be more than just. I mean, I'm glad they're going after the big pharma now, but there's got to be more.
And you can't tell me that even the insurance companies didn't know too. I would think to some degree, but anyway, government officials and lobbyists and, you know, let's get them all, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, all this prison reform, sentencing reform, there's going to be a lot more space in our federal prisons, Melody.
Well, yeah, these guys just go to Club Fed anyway. So,
yeah, that's right.
You know, reminds me of what was that movie where the gangsters would go to Goodfellas? They'd go into prison and, you know, there's a bunch of gangsters in there in this one prison, and, you know, they'd have all their Italian food shipped in, cooking and smoking.
Classic scene.
Yes, it is.
Disgusting.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I don't know how true, but I think there's probably a little bit of truth in that in Club Fed, you know. But anyway, we're just about out of time. So let's, we got about a minute. 800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. The 90% silver package, $25 face value, along with a 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle. And that includes your shipping costs, $450. And, of course, we have the Mint State 62 $20 Liberty Gold Piece, $1,350. A few bucks. Hey, gold's up. Yesterday it was, what, $15 higher than a Gold Eagle, and gold is up $7 today. So now it's only $8 different spread. So, because the price is the same, $1,350. So good time to be buying $150 or $100. We have them. Give us a call, 800-375-4188. Well, I guess we're just about out of time, Dave.
Well, Melody, it's been a newsworthy day, not to mention week. I hope you have that one special phone number on speed dial, ladies and gentlemen. I won't even repeat it again because you probably know it by heart.
800-375-4188. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back on Monday. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.